Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, your host for today's episode of Startup Hustle, covering all things e-commerce, Amazon. We're going to be talking about email marketing and just trends in general that are working across e-commerce. Today's guest, Ryan O'Connor. But before we get into who he is and what he does and what his company does, I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor for Startup Hustle, Payoneer. Get up to $750K in working capital instantly to grow your Amazon and Walmart stores. From inventory to advertising, visit payoneer.com/funding today for all your e-commerce financing needs. There's even a special rebate for listeners of the Startup Hustle. So be sure to mention that you came in from the Startup Hustle and talk to those guys. I've been partnering with them for a long time with Marknology, my Amazon company. They're great guys. I do stuff on their, you know, it's just authentic company. I do stuff on their university for free. You can get in there and hear some stuff. If you're looking to transfer funds or get loans for your e-commerce business as you're expanding internationally or whatever, they're the guys to go to. So Ryan, we've covered the basics. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this, Andrew.
Yeah, no, it's we got chatting before we started. I'm like, we got to press play. We got to get into this stuff. But before we do, like, you know, start talking about trends, and let's talk about how you got into this space. And honestly, not just how you started, you know, this company, but what's your entrepreneur history? Like, how did you become an entrepreneur? Like, what was that path like?
Yeah. You know, I kind of stumbled into it. I went to grad school. I got my degree in psychology. And basically right out of grad school, a company hired me because they're like, oh, this kid's got his master's degree. Sounds great. And within 2 weeks, they laid me off because I was inexperienced. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I just got out of school. And so, you know, I was like, how am I need to pay rent. Like, I have expenses, you know, and I was relying on that. So I just went online and I was like, I'm going to try and build someone a website. And that started, I got a client within a week and that started my entrepreneurial journey, you know. And then a few years in, I realized that I loved e-commerce. I loved D2C. It's like a fast paced environment. Like it's just so fun for me. And so right. I started doing CRO and building websites on Shopify. And then at some point, you know, I was making my clients millions of dollars. I was like, I should do this myself. So I got into drop shipping, selling products from China back when Facebook ads were like $2 per purchase back in the golden days. And one of my big problems with my own store, though, was my profit margins were really low. And I was having a hard time getting customers to come back and buy again. So that's how I got into email marketing and text message marketing, was to solve my own problem. And it worked out so well. You know, at some point, Facebook ads got expensive. I got out of drop shipping and I went all in about 4 years ago. On email marketing and brought all the strategies that I had used and learned to my clients.
I love that. It's very similar to my own path, you know, even still living some of that, which is like, was making a lot of money for the first company I worked with, the startup on Amazon. We did $1 million. The next company, we did $1 million. The next year, so in back-to-back years, I had grown sales by $1 million. Started freelancing, was like, this is like the things I'm learning along the way. I'm learning from my own businesses, you know, and I'm acquiring and building my own businesses now. But still, you know, Marketology has a stable of brands that we're working with, and it's just been that accumulation of everything I learned. You know, I'm being like, this is a service that a lot of people need to know, solving a problem. You know, to me, it was, Marketology is named that way because I believe it's the perfect intersection of marketing and technology. You need to know both to really dominate in e-commerce. And it was a cheap domain name. But you know, no, that's exactly it. I fell in love with e-commerce, and man, I had done a lot of things before I found e-commerce. I mean, I went to school for computer science and different stuff, and hated networking, hated security, hated IT as far as like school and what I, the first job I got out after. But as soon as I found e-commerce, I was in. Yeah, okay. So you're a co-founder. Let's talk about that as well. Did you meet him like working on brands? Did you like him, her, I guess, like, you know, how did this get birthed, I guess?
Yeah. So, you know, I've actually had a couple agencies over the last 6-7 years. I've had a couple of business partners too. My current business partner was my best friend from college. Okay. Just luckily, you know, very intelligent guy, high aspirations. He went in the corporate world. I was able to convince him to come out and join me. And yeah, you know, we partnered up in 2019, end of 2019, for our current business, Worth E-commerce. And we've grown about 5x since a year and a half ago. We got about like 75 clients now doing email, SMS, like 40 employees. Just, you know, feels like we're scaling to the moon.
I love that.
Fun ride.
I know what you're, as fun as that is, I know what you're going through. You know, scaling just creates more problems. And you can be an amazing expert at one thing. And now they're asking you to be a leader and a manager and a people person. And, you know, all these things. You're like, I just went from being like a closet nerdy, like techie guy in the basement to like, you need me to like actually manage people and, you know, be
changing
able to
change careers people every 6 months, basically.
Exactly. So I know where you're at. Awesome. So like, you know, what do you guys do? We talked about text and email. Let's say, you know, I'm an e-commerce company that's not utilizing it, or maybe my email marketing sucks, or like, it's just not doing what I think. I don't even know if it sucks, cause I just don't know. Right. What do you guys do? You come in and kind of do like a deep dive, or what's that like?
So a lot of brands really underutilize email and text. They, a lot of them, you know, it's just like, hey, let's get it up. Let's get it running. But really it's probably one of the most personal channels that you can communicate with your audience in, and the least competitive. Like if you think about advertising, social media, all these, the most common ways of digital marketing, there's a lot of noise. Whereas email, there's, you know, most people are signed up to 10, 20 newsletters. And those are the brands that they like, that they love, that they've bought from. So when you send out a message, it can be very personalized and create a deeper connection with your customer. And that's really how you're going to differentiate yourself from your competition. It's through that communication, you know, your customers loving hearing from you, and not just being like a product-based company promoting products, but actually tying some emotions and a lifestyle to the company that you're building. Now, a lot of that is done through other channels too, but email, SMS is one of the best, the strongest ways to do it.
And our clients, it's relationship actually, building. You
know, yeah, it's relationship building, exactly, at a wide scale, at a big scale. And yeah, you know, a lot of businesses think email is maybe a thing of the past. I used to hear a lot more that it's dead. I don't hear that too much anymore, just because there's been so many advancements. But any e-commerce store that's like making less, you know, 20-25% or less of their total revenue from email, that's where we're coming in saying, hey, there's a lot more. There's a lot you're leaving on the table. Email should actually, and SMS should be making like 35%, maybe even up to 50% in some cases, if you have a very loyal customer base. A lot of brands don't realize that, how big a chunk it is. And consumers are trusting email a lot more now too, because Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail have got a lot more strict about spam. So if you're doing it right, you know, you get a lot of eyeballs, a lot of sales from those communities.
I think what kind of happened as someone that's been in the space is like, tech continues to advance, you know, and evolve, and like innovation. And, you know, it was like these things were great of the past. Like they don't stop being great. They just got oversaturated that people got numb to it. Right. And then as people move on to the next thing, it circles back and those things are still great. Like I love getting mail. Right. Like I remember like you remember like that Meg Ryan or like I think it was Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, like You've Got Mail. That came out in the past. It was just like that was like when email first came out and people were like looking forward to getting an email, you know, like it was just like those were the early days. And you know, and then it's just kind of progressed. And then you're like, okay, now text, like, wow, this is really cool. I'm getting a text from Gary Vee, like with his thoughts, you know, and I'm not having to get on Instagram to get it. That's pretty cool. You know, and then like the next thing will come out and the next thing, but it's like, doesn't like LinkedIn, you know, everyone's advertising through LinkedIn. I get like 50 DMs a day. It's ridiculous. It's just,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
There's no relationship building. It's just like add, you know.
Market.
Right. So if your email inbox is like, it's not sophisticated and you're getting like 500 emails a day from all this stuff, you get burnt out. But as sophistication comes, there's like a revisiting to that, you know? And I think that's super cool. Like I, you know, I've honestly been investigating it because part of my job as an e-commerce consultant or an Amazon, you know, we run an Amazon agency. They're like, well, what else can we do? What's the next, what else is working in e-commerce? What are some trends that are working? Is it international expansion? You know, that's why I've got Pioneer on this episode because it's like, what are the things that are working? International expansion, at least when it comes to Amazon, is huge and it's working really well because we're essentially getting into a market that's not saturated early. As Amazon experts, we know what to do. So it's like an easy, you know, and then we can start all the other things like, okay, we're in Amazon. Now we can start marketing like Amazon Australia, for example, is a big win for a lot of brands or Amazon Canada. You know, so those are the things like I think tying in that texting. And to me, it's all about storytelling. Storytelling is about relationship building. And it's like you need to touch them, not too much, just like any friend. You call them up every single day. You know,
that's the cool thing, actually, Andrew, you know, it's gotten so advanced that you can segment your customers, your subscribers into many groups. And there are actually people who will open every email, like they're so loyal to brands and they cannot wait. And we're sending emails and texts, like we write them in the voice of the founder of the company, sign it off from the founder. And it's like a much more personal message. And it's crazy how much higher the open rates are and reply rates and everything. It's getting a lot more personalized. But yeah, you could send 4 emails a day. Some like Chubbies does that. If you're like one of their loyal fans, you'll get 4 emails a day from them.
But maybe the voice is different. Like you're talking to them, like, you know, they're obsessed with your company, right? Versus like how you would talk to someone that comes once a month, like when it's super late at night, you know, and they're coming in and it's like the fourth meal type messaging. Yeah. You know, I know like from my perspective, I do just follow a couple of brands, you know, but I open them up because like those are my brands and I'm like, I want to see what they've got going on. And if you're bringing value, like, you know, I guess I've been trying to learn this in the last year. You know, y'all got a little bit more time this last year in some ways, in some other ways e-commerce is exploding. But I took a several $1,000 sales copywriting course, like with some one-on-one, like 6 weeks of one-on-one, and was really trying to learn that voice that you were talking about from the founder's voice, like the owner's voice, and like, you know, how do I scale without losing my personal touch, was a big focus. And it's interesting that you brought that up.
It is hard to do.
Yeah, but a way to do it is like get your videos or get your emails or get your personalization really down and get some help. Get somebody that can help you make that happen, you know?
Yeah. It's impossible to do it all on your own as a business owner. And it's really hard too to like hire, like we have employees and we also hire agencies. We tend to hire employees for like our core skills, but then because we can train them, right? And we have a system, but most of what we do to grow our agency itself, we're hiring other agencies. Whereas like the email service we do, it's all employees. Just because like it'd take forever. It'd take months or years of getting it all wrong, learning.
You gotta be an expert at all those things, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's impossible.
So it's like one thing I think the best way to explain it to people listening that might not understand this is like, look, I'm an expert at selling products online. But I'm in a service-based business. So like I'm legitimately learning B2C and B2B And like, and I honestly learn all the aspects of these, of the companies I work with's business, because I want to be able to give them the best advice from all the way from manufacturing to like delivering it in the package. Like if I want to be the best, it's like really learning every single part of that. And maybe it's the follow up and the touch after, right? So Amazon has like some basic email marketing that you can do through the Amazon platform in comparison to like what the softwares can do now for web.
Oh, do they? I didn't know that you could email from Amazon. When did that launch?
That's been a long time, but it's connected through the API. So you wouldn't be able to use like a Klaviyo or something like that, or a MailChimp, but there's some industry leaders. And we don't touch on, like, it's not about the review and asking for the review or anything like that. It's really about, I want to send out a brand touch. Maybe there's a recipe in it. Maybe there's an ebook or a guide or an installation instructions that we already send with the package, but like, you know, these are the touches you can kind of do. And it's just like getting in front of them, you know, continuing that relationship. Hey, it's not just about, I got your money and now I'm good. It's about like legitimately just keeping that relationship going.
Yeah. Business models in e-commerce don't work anymore, where it's just get the customer one time. That's usually the least profitable, is when someone just buys once. Just too much competition. Advertising costs are too high. Too many people are good at it. So now it's all about, how do I build loyalty? How do I keep that connection? I wish I remember the name of the book. I read it recently. It's a marketing book that came out 2019. I'll have to look it up. We can put in the resources, but he talks all about like marketing, to own your niche, is all that your ultimate goal is to be the strongest memory structure in your audience. So like if you like want to compete, let's say you're selling streetwear, right? Maybe in like you're a Los Angeles streetwear brand. There's so many streetwear brands. So your goal is to become top of mind in that space for all the people who wear streetwear. So how do you do your marketing? How do you do your messaging so that people always think of you first? And it's evolved. The game's evolved. Like consumers like that personal touch. They want to know more about your company, your brand, your mission, what you're doing behind the scenes, like all that fun stuff. It's not enough to just do some photo shoots and promote products anymore.
Nope, it's not. And you know, I think I get excited because I'm like, that's not who Marknology is. So we struggled at the beginning, but as like the game is getting more advanced and it's changing, now our model is the winning model. That's at least how I feel. You know, like if you look at the content we put out, if you look at like, it's just like really authentic content about, you know, the 15 of us that work here. We talk about who we are, what we do, what we care about, what we support. And it's just like, look, this is who we are. If you want to work with us, great. If you don't, like, this is who we are, and that's fine too. You know, but like, that's how you attract the right customers. That's how you get. I remember, I'll tell a silly story.
Where are you guys active on most?
Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn for sure. For like me personally, you know, like not that many brands are following Marknology on Instagram and engaging in that big way. But if they look us up, they're going to see that, right? Some of it is that. It's not just about the likes and like what you're getting there. It's like if people look you up, you're the same wherever they come in contact with you at, yeah. Or like you're on that marketplace, right? Whether it's email, is there a big drop off for branding? You know, are you on Amazon and you're like, I don't care what's on Amazon. So you're okay with people seeing your brand this way. And then they get to Amazon, it looks like shit. And you're like, you're okay with that? And you've spent 50 years building your brand and you're okay with like this huge drop off here. How is that? It makes no sense. I'm talking to the wrong
person. We'll use channels like LinkedIn. I'm talking now for our agency and our marketing, like B2B. Yeah. We're looking for e-commerce businesses as our clients. We have like between like three of our my founder and one of our heads, we have like 10,000 followers. So that's like a space where we do a lot of marketing, find a lot of clients. But then on other social media channels, like you're talking about, like we don't have a huge YouTube following or a massive Instagram following. So we use that, like we use Instagram for highlighting employees and highlighting like fun stuff that we're doing as a team. Wow. Because people do stumble across that. And the plus side is the team feels recognized, right? Yeah. And then YouTube is a place where we have all our case studies and reviews, and we send people there instead of sending them to our website. Because then they end up browsing around much easier and seeing, you know, more, basically more social proof. So even like channels that don't have a lot of traffic, they still can be utilized to help you get a lot more
trust
sales
building, or internal, right?
Yeah,
trust. I feel like I'm in the trust building game in a space where I feel like the marketing space is full of a lot of crooks, I'll be honest, like just people that will take your money and say they'll produce results and don't, and maybe some, maybe their intentions are even good, but doesn't mean they're producing, you know? And so the brands that we work with have gone through this, not just us, mm-hmm. but like they've been burned. They've tried a photographer, didn't work out. They've hired a videographer and they've hired someone to do their website four times. Like, you know, and so then we're coming
in. There's a lot of novices like, out there.
This is a self-taught space, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of novices, and because of that, it's like, you know what? It's not me about me saying what we do better than them or this or that. It's about just saying this is what we do, is who we are, and building trust. You know, there's nothing more rewarding to me than when I get on like an intro call to a brand or a potential client, and they're like, yeah, like they're bringing up stuff from our YouTube or our Instagram that they were like, we did our research. And I'm just like, good, because it feels like they know us before they're even having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's
what consumers do that. You know, they're, if you look at for as an e-commerce brand, you know, you look at not your customer types, but your, I guess it'd be your potential customers, your prospects, you're going to have a lot of different types. There's the people who are impulsive and buy from ads, like 3% mm-hmm. or so. And then you have the people that are going to come look at your website and they're not going to buy it, even if they love it and they need it. They just sit on it. Right. But those are the people that are willing to make an exchange because they like your brand. So they'll give over their email or their phone number. And then you remind them the next day or a couple of days later, that's when they buy. And then there's the people that go do the heavy research. They've been burned by a bunch of Chinese companies or drop shippers or whatever. And they do a lot of research. They're looking around at reviews on your website. Yeah.
Right.
They go on a hunt. Trustpilot.
Yeah. Kind of stuff. I mean, I think we're in the trust game, and like as new emerging technology and companies, it's like, this is what we got to do to create relationship. It's old school business, new school way. You know, it's like people used to do business like with the guy down the street that they knew, you know, and it was just like everyone did by like word of mouth, and you know, you got a reputation, and it's all the same strategies, like just in a, you know, digital way now. So I have a lot of fun with it, and trying to bring some of that old school to what we do in a new way has been fun for me, especially as I build a team and it gets more than just myself, and trying to create that culture. Like you're at 40, you know, that's amazing. You know, we're at about 15 plus with some outsourced stuff. We outsource as well to the stuff that builds our agency. So it's a lot of work, and it's like, you know, how do you create that scale fast? Create that culture that cares about those same things, and like trust building and relationship. And but that's what makes the same things we're trying to do here is what makes it work for other companies. You know, that's why I know to emulate it. It's like, this is what works out there in the real world. People that are like taking the time to build relationships with their customers, doing the packaging right, doing the follow-up, you know, not just following up with the customers that say, hey, buy some more, but just like, did you have an issue? Are you good? Did you love it? You know, like, do you need more help? Do you need to talk to somebody to help you install that? Like,
yeah, doing and all right that thing. Can be automated too.
Exactly. You with know? Email and texting. And, yeah. and that's why yeah. I brought it up. You got to do the touches.
Even, it's funny, even with like shipping, communications have gotten real advanced lately, especially with text messaging. And because over the last few years, consumers have become a lot more sketched out by ship. Like if shipping takes more than 3 to 5 days or there's any problems, consumers like usually don't shop with the brand again. And so, you know, with text messaging, you can actually send notifications. Hey, the order has left the manufacturing facility. Hey, the order is in your town. Do you hear any background noise?
Yeah, we got a little background noise.
Okay. One sec.
I know it's a pandemic. We're all working from home.
Got my buddy right next to me.
Be fast and four. I'm tell you the phone right now. Like,
and yeah, so I mean, with text messaging, especially shipping notifications have become a big thing to build trust. But they also drive sales, which is interesting. We've seen a lot of customers will buy when that same day that you send a shipping notification, if you like show another similar product or give them a discount. We've seen a lot more upsells, and that's something you normally wouldn't think about, right? Using shipping messages as a form of sales.
It's almost like, when someone's checking out at the counter, like that stuff that's close to the counter, like that upsell right before, like right at the purchase point, you know, whether it's like the Coca-Cola or it's the candy bar, it's the magazine, or like just that, like by the counter purchase, not just in the cart, but like, hey, by the way, we've got this, or, you know, and for e-commerce specifically, you know, the number of items added to an order make it drastically more profitable because, you know, you're lumping all those into one shipping. You know, so essentially, like if you add a smaller item to, let's say, a bigger purchase, that item's essentially getting shipped for free. And so, you know, there's a lot of money to be made on the logistics side or of increasing your average order size outside of just that, you know, that immediate sell.
Yep. And even, you know, even if someone doesn't buy, like say you do an upsell on the website or during the checkout process, even if that doesn't work, we've seen where you, if you okay. give like a 5-hour discount, yeah, right, like with their order confirmation, okay. we've seen about 20% upsell purchases. 20% of customers okay. just buying one thing will then yeah. use that coupon within those five yeah. hours, which is kind of crazy. Okay, cool. You wouldn't think that would happen, right? Uh-huh. But, you know, that's the best time. The most likely time someone's going to buy again is right after they're shopping, or while they're, you know, while they're checking out, like you said, okay. like waiting in line.
Top of mind. I just like to bring it, like, you know, these okay. things aren't rocket science. It's really just thinking about like what works in other models and like what can we bring to digital as it's like new. And it's like, you know, people haven't been trying these things. You got to A/B test. You got to figure out what works. You got to segment. It's almost always segment, whether it's Facebook ads or Amazon advertising or emails. Probably it's like the more segmented you get it, the better your program gets. Because it's just getting more personalized. You know, we can save thousands in advertising by doing it right, by knowing how to segment on Amazon. I wanted to talk about just like a little bit how we were talking about how some brands are like sending traffic with their email to Amazon and some other things that we're doing. Before we get into that, it's a reminder. You can get up to $750K in working capital from Payoneer's Capital Advance Program. Attractive fixed fees and flexible settlement plans ensure that you'll always have the funds to handle your daily operating expenses. Apply now, Payoneer.com/funding. Enjoy a 10% fee rebate on your first capital advance. Remember, reminder to tell them you came from Startup Hustle. You know, there's so many reasons why people need funding, whether it's just like you've got a big opportunity to grab some stock. You've got to, you know, you can upgrade your order, you know, order in larger quantities. Maybe you're just looking to expand and it's time, you know, have access to funding. Know it's available to you if you're a store. Amazon offers it, which is crazy, you know, at a pretty steep rate. But if your store is already producing, you'd be surprised what you can get your hands on, you know, based on your store volume. So once again, shout out to our partners over there at Payoneer. But back to this subject of, you know, using kind of off Amazon strategies, and like, you're like, you know, I've started noticing that there's this trend happening that people are doing. And I want to kind of back and forth on that a little bit, like as an Amazon expert, why people are doing that from your side, what you're seeing. So if you could just lay the groundwork a little bit for everybody listening, we're talking about people sending traffic to Amazon. Is that texting or just email?
Yeah. So we've seen for our clients that do have an Amazon presence, a couple of things. Number one, I've seen our clients where they send a mail-in rebate or something like that with the product in the Amazon box, and then customers will go and put their email in to claim that rebate, or maybe, you know, it could be whatever. There's other
another example would be like a warranty, right? Like a warranty,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You want like the way you can collect pre-workout, like you want 10% off the next one. We call these product inserts in my world. And they're super important. Like if you're on Amazon, you do subscribe and save. Like subscribe and save is a way to get that reoccurring customer, you know, like follow-up emails. So there's all these tactics, and it's really like people are like, well, you know, Amazon keeps all my data. Amazon is bitching and moaning, right? And it's like, honestly, you just don't understand what you don't know. And there's brands out there that are doing funnels, chat box, text follow-ups, product inserts, collecting emails, using attribution with Amazon, like, you know, and some of the stuff's coming out, and there are stipulations, there's pros and cons, but like a lot of brands are doing some really awesome stuff. And, you know, and I've seen a lot of it started with like supplement companies I was working with on Amazon. They were kind of the first that were really like innovative, and you know, me working with them, I've brought it to different categories and different spaces and been like, these are what some of these supplement companies are doing. We should do this in apparel. No one's doing it, you know? So, okay, so you said of the ones you're doing, like they've got these inserts that bring the emails in.
Yeah, so that's like how they collect it.
Yeah, it's an Amazon customer at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an Amazon customer, and you're not allowed to market to them and send that Amazon customer to your website. So those that list of your Amazon customers, if you can get those emails, then you can do promotions to send them back to Amazon. But then we have clients who have, you know, they have their customers on their e-commerce store. They've collected their email from their website, their own website, that they'll send to Amazon because the conversion rate is so much higher. It's, you know, 17% on average is I think what I heard. I know you said you got close to 49% with one of your longstanding clients, which is insane conversion rates. But yeah, you know, it's why, you know, for some brands, it's like, why send to our website if they're much more likely to buy from Amazon?
Yeah. And I want to like talk to this because I don't think a lot of people hear this. And there's just like, there's these ways, these tips, these tricks, these outside the box ways of really tying in your e-commerce strategy across the board, from email to texting. I'm sure you guys like coordinate that, right? To Amazon, to web, to brick and mortar. Sometimes you're doing in-store discounts and sending out emails about in-store stuff. And, you know, there's all these ways to tie it all in together. And that's really the future. You know, it's really like, how do you get all the different parts of your business to work together in the best way possible? And whether that's like, you know, Amazon has an algorithmic part, but like part of selling on Amazon is algorithm, it's momentum, it's keeping stuff stocked. It's like you're launching new products and now you're saying, hey, here's an email blast out to my first 50 customers on Amazon. I just got on Amazon. I would love to have you there. To my first 50, here's a deal. You know, and Amazon's rewarding you for bringing off Amazon traffic. So if like Amazon is like, for some people is 80% of their business, they might do 20% on their website. They're an Amazon business. And so why say like, oh, I gotta grow your site. I gotta do this. No, like keep this business healthy, figure out what they need. And for them is to grow Amazon. So to grow Amazon, there's all these things you can do. You can compete on keywords within Amazon against head to head, or you can be like, look, I have a curated list. I don't have to compete with anyone. These people have already been my customers before. I can send out a blast. And for pennies on what I would do to compete on these keywords that I want to get market share on Amazon, I can create an email program and successfully launch products. Like, you know, and so that's one way, right? You can also use
influencers. That's a great way to start on Amazon too.
Exactly.
Like if you have a great presence in your e-commerce brand, you have a loyal customer list, you got emails, you got texts, like you want to get on Amazon, like launching that to your current list, maybe give them a deal for the, you know, for a week or something like that. But, you know, getting all that traffic real quickly to Amazon, it's going to boost that product.
Game changer. Results, and just most people are not, you know, most people aren't leveraging their email the way they should be to be able to do those kinds of things. Like, you know, of the brands I sign, probably like 1 out of 10 has a strong list. Maybe. Right. Like, so, you know, it's getting your data, getting your customer information. Even if they're on Amazon, most of them are not doing the, you know, how do I get my customers' email addresses and taking that extra work. It might cost 15 cents to put that insert in your package, you know? But it becomes so valuable in the long run when you can, like, let's say you have a listing go down, hypothetical situation, you're selling on Amazon, you got 5 SKUs, you're kicking ass, you're doing 100,000 a month. Each of them is like, you know, you got one doing 50,000 and the other 4 doing the 50,000 combined. Your 50,000 listing goes down. Maybe a competitor took you down. Maybe you ran out of stock. You get the listing back up a couple of days later. You've lost a bit of momentum, right? Because it's a momentum platform. And so you're trying to get it back. You're trying to get sales back up because Amazon's always like scoring, right? It's like, oh, they ran out of stock. Oh, like they raised the price on our customers. Like, Amazon's thinking with the customer in mind. So when you do things like run out of stock, for example, Amazon punishes you a little bit in the algorithm. Well, the easiest way to get that back up, send out a blast using your email. You've got tools at your, you know, your command, and get that momentum back. Like, you know, get stuff rolling again. Like the more tools you have across your channels to be able to do stuff, the better.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
So I know cool. Some technical stuff for anyone listening, but like just hoping they can wrap their minds around, like, look, you don't have to know how to do all these things, but it's good to start thinking about your brand in a holistic way. And how can you get all of your channels working together? Just because you haven't seen another company doing it doesn't mean it's not something you should think about. So yeah. And you know, another thing is, what's really cool is Amazon's coming out with attribution now. And so it used to be if you sent someone to Amazon with an email or an Instagram or Facebook ad, you wanted them to have like save 15% as a code. They would claim the code, which is clunky. And then you would attribute that back to that program and be like, this came from email or this came from Facebook. And you were kind of doing this manual process of these were our code redemptions versus like, you know, what we sent. And Amazon's released attribution. They continue to improve it. But now we, you know, you can have a dashboard if you know how to plug it all in, and you can have a code for email and people coming in from email and people coming in from Facebook or Instagram, and, you know, essentially attribute correctly back to your email program. So it's not just about the conversion rate, but now you're getting attribution data as well. Like, it's a no brainer, for the right brand, you know, that's set up that way where their Amazon's kicking ass, and they can make,
you could even be that, now that you bring that up, you could even, I haven't thought of this, but you could even A/B test, like, let's say you have an established brand presence on your website. Maybe you're growing on Amazon or vice versa. You could A/B test an email. If you have 5, 10,000, 100,000, million people, whatever, send half to Amazon, have a different, you know, template in your email, send the other half to your website, see what happens with the attribution. You'll know within a
day. Let's find out, right? Like, let's find out. And I think, I really think that the Amazon customer and the web customer are different customers. They're sure there's some crossover. If you're looking at a pie chart where there's like some of them crossing over, they're both. But some people are just like, I enjoy buying on a website, just like the same people that go buy their groceries in the store, or the ones that order it for pickup, or like, there's different customers, right? You're like, you were talking about some of them want to do other research and some of them want to buy off the ad. And you have to understand that some of your customers are on Amazon, and, you know, do what's best for your customer. If you put your customer first, if you're like, where do they want to interact? You know, it could be an email. I would love to see the data on an email that says like buy on the web or buy on Amazon and see where people go. You could, you know, track both and be like, you know, because Amazon has this trust factor that just a lot of other like companies like to replicate what Amazon has is virtually impossible. They're one of the biggest companies in the world. You know, and they're the first in e-commerce to promise us 2-day. Everyone else is caught up. They're the original, the OG, you know, so their customer service at a point, if you're the seller, it sucks. If you're the buyer, you're the customer, it's amazing. The customer service is amazing. So I'm just about that.
Another thing to think about on that topic, Andrew, is, you know, abandoning carts when it comes to your website. Like, the abandoned cart rate is pretty high for most brands, 80% or more. And a lot of that has to do with the checkout process. Either people not trusting it, not being fast enough, they have to enter in information or log in. You know, I know Chrome saves a lot of that information, right? But there's still some work to be done. Whereas on Amazon, like, the purchase process is literally
sometimes you buy on accident. You're like, did I just buy that? Like, I think I just one click bought that. You know, I'm like, I didn't know I was logged in. Or the dash buttons or things like that. Yeah. So it's just like, and it's like, honestly, if you're getting better results, you don't have to stick with it. You could be like, okay, so why is Amazon converting so much higher than my site? What do I need to work on? And it can give you feedback, you know? So when people just start thinking about these as like the same machine, it gets exciting for me. And I feel like the off Amazon space is really starting to understand some of that as the brands are pushing them to do these things, which makes it more exciting for me, because it's less of an uphill battle to get, you know, those other teams on board. Like, you know, if we're working with a big company, like let's say we're working with your company for a brand, we're both on the same team. The brand is essentially our client. Our goals are to look good for what we do for them, grow their business, continue to do that. You know, you can be like, well, I don't want to give any of my sales to Amazon. And typically in the past, that's been because they couldn't attribute their efforts to it. So they couldn't say, I'm managing your email. We're spending $1,000 a month and it's attributing to 10,000 in sales or something like that. Right. You couldn't do that because it was just so archaic. But as these things are like technology is advancing, and now you could essentially, you're like, I don't care where you grow. If you want me to send it to Amazon, I'll send it. If you can attribute that, you can prove that you're doing good work, you know? So I think the collaboration is awesome. I think there's some really cool stuff. And if you ever want to do a case study together, you let me know. It sounds let's like we it. Could do some fun stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about it after this. That'd be cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I do want to bring up one topic. We get a lot of, like, since SMS is relatively new in the game, it's been around in e-commerce for about 4 years, but it's really only popped off over the last year. So we get a lot of questions about how to use SMS strategically and use it right. And a lot of brands and business owners are worried about spamming their customers and losing customers. And so, you know, one of the things we found over the last year is SMS is best to look at as a VIP list. The okay. people that are most engaged with your business and bought many times. Alternatively, also you do get new SMS signups. So like when someone first signs up for your SMS list, they tend to want to get a communications from you for the next week or two. And so that's interesting. It's very different than email, because email is very broad. You can basically reach out to all the active people on your list. And most of the time it's not spamming, as long as you're not actually doing something ridiculous. Whereas SMS, it's much more tailored, personal. And if you do build a community there of like your VIP customers, all your most recent subscribers, we've seen clients that they just have 1,000 subscribers to their text list, and they're making 10-20K a month from just that, which wow. is insane. Like you from email, if you have 1,000 people on your email list, you'd be lucky to make $100 a month from that, you know?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Okay, that's crazy. I don't know that much about SMS. Like I've had a couple guests on the show. We've talked about it, but really almost like about as much as I know about Bitcoin. You know, it's just like it's surface level, you know, trying to get there. And like I sign up with Gary V on a bunch of different stuff because I just want to know, I want to see how he does it, you know, and like, how's he doing text? How's he doing SMS? You know, and it's his value added content type of stuff that he's doing. So I want to interact with someone that's doing it at a high level in case, because so many brands are behind, honestly, like yeah. the brands that I engage with, the brands that I like, the streetwear brand that comes to mind, or like the dress clothes brand that comes to my mind when you say be top of mind, like they're not doing these things. So
yeah.
I'm learning from, you know, outside companies.
And the cool thing about that is like, yeah, it's like, hey, you don't know the technology, but you know, if you're willing to make a bet on certain technologies like SMS, which is still very new to the game, a lot of brands aren't doing it. That means like if you get in early with that technology and it's working well, the market isn't saturated yet. Like consumers aren't overwhelmed by text. That hasn't happened. Like back on social media, what, 5-10 years ago, people weren't overwhelmed on social media like they are today. So the brands that were on it early the first 2 years got so much really value collected. Out of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what SMS is right now. It's, you know, there a lot of brands have it, but they're not really using it very much. It's very, very minimal. And the brands that are using SMS, well, they're building huge communities, you know, driving a lot of sales and building some killer loyalty. And I don't think it's going to be like that forever. You know, eventually it's getting more regulated every single year. Like CBD, for example, is getting just over the last 2 months has gotten a lot of regulations where you can't really send to, it's much harder to send marketing messages now via text message if you're a CBD brand. Whereas like a year ago, it was wild, wild west, you know?
That's why I love e-commerce. Like, you know, it's yeah. the wild west. Yeah. But if you choose a super regulated business like, you know, cannabinoids, then you're choosing kind of some regulation, you know.
But it took a while to get to that point, you know?
Like yeah, and it'll probably come back. Yeah. One thing another area I'm really seeing it big in is real estate. I get, you know, I own a few properties, and I just get so many texts about them from, you know, just like strangers. I don't even know how they're getting my name. Probably finding it. They're probably scraping like Zillow or something. I don't know. Not probably doing it the best way, right? But those are the hunters, you know, real estate investors, and they're all over it. So, you know, you pay attention to the industry movers, like the kind of people that adapt new stuff first and, you know, try to stay close to that. But okay, so we're getting kind of close to time. I know we've covered a lot, but I think it's really helpful for anyone just trying to wrap their mind around how some of this stuff works. Talk about this couple of things before we pass. Like, number one, talk about where people can reach you. But before that, you know, who are your ideal clients? Like, what size do you need to be to start engaging with an agency at an agency level where you're covering agency fees and they're able to make you profitable? Like, where does your business need to be to work with you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we'll work with brands as small as making like $4,000 or $5,000 a month. You know, they've probably been around for a few months to a year. you know, actually a lot of our clients have been with us for 3 years and they started off in that range. And then we have all the way up to about $5 million a month, like $50, $60 million a year companies. And we have completely different plans and scopes of work for the starter, you know, the startup businesses compared to the medium-sized businesses, and prices that work for all of them. But I mean, if it's a newer brand, you know, under 100K, you know, we're looking to help you grow and get to the next level and take the next phase. And email SMS is actually one of the best ways to improve profits if you're not fully utilizing it. Like, it should be making at least a third of your business. And if you're not there, that's a lot of extra profit, because it doesn't cost very much to send an email. It's like pennies, right? Compared to advertising, which is very expensive.
The difference in competition versus like demand generation versus demand capture. Like, you've already got these people, you know, you've already got these customers, you've already engaged with them, you've already met them. You just got to cultivate that relationship a little bit. So that's super helpful. And, you know, several of the companies I've talked to about this, are only dealing with very high end. So, you know, I have a lot of brands, at least in the Marknology family, that are, we're at under $1 million, or we're at $1 million a year, or like, you know, we're doing 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 a month on Amazon and looking into these things. But not running like massive off Amazon, you know, yet. Like, a lot of my brands are building their email lists with eBooks and things like that, but like not necessarily utilizing them. So it's very helpful. As well as, like, you know, I think about personal brand and like, what should I be doing as a personal brand, as a thought leader, not just as a company, but as Andrew Morgan's. I think a lot of people have those, whether it's authors or speakers or, you know, different entrepreneurs that tune in, is like, what should I be doing on a personal level, at a personal brand? I'm never going to be at that level where like my personal brand, or I wouldn't say I'd never be at that level, but I'm at that personal level where I'm not selling products at that level, you know, but you need those touches.
And I have to say, I'm jealous, Andrew, of the personal brand that you've built. I just got into that game, and I wish I'd been in it for the last 5 years, because your personal brand as an entrepreneur stays with you no matter what company, agency, e-commerce business, you know, whatever you're in, that your personal brand stays with you, and you build your own following that is going to come with you along your journey. And, you know, if they love your message, and whether you're selling products or not, or services, or just helping people, you're going to build a following. And I wish I had started that earlier. I would say, like, we actually have some, you know, I know most of the audience is e-commerce. Some of our clients have their own personal brands that started off like there's one client I love. Her name's Jenny. Her company's Designs by Planner Perfect. And she started her own personal branding when they were at 8,000 a month about a year and a half ago. Now they're doing 200K a month, which is crazy. And like, her brand is, her personal brand is what accelerated the growth the most, which is crazy. They've barely run any ads or anything. It's been a slower process, but that's the one thing I would say, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, like, you don't necessarily have to spend 40 hours a week building your personal brand, but, you know, get your message out there. Even if you're new, share your story, share what you're learning on Reddit, or join podcasts, or do it on your LinkedIn, or have a blog. Like, that kind of stuff stays with you forever.
Yeah. And I think about just like using text and email as a way of like, look, this is my upcoming schedule. These are podcasts I have. These are speaking events I'm at, or panels, or like, you know, things I'm doing. I'm going to be on this TV show, or, you know, you're letting people know what's going on in your life so they can be a part of it. And then, you know, text message reminders, like, hey, just so you know, I'm going live with this like cool ass dude. We're going to cover this. Like, you know, if you want to tune in, here it is, like staying top of mind with people. And something you said earlier, like, really sparked me. And I really struggled with this when I was learning this, was I needed to learn personal brand because I went to this real estate conference, and this like guy that was speaking was worth like millions and millions of dollars. And he was like, his story almost made me like cry. He's talking about his brother. It was just like really good. I'm like, what a great story about an awesome person. And I looked him up on like online, and there's like no presence for this person at all. I'm like, for pennies, you could have paid someone to like, at least like have some kind of resume online, you know, like there was there, but it was just like, wasn't amazing for someone that's probably worth like millions and millions of dollars. And it was just like, you know, I don't want that to be me. It wasn't a judgment thing. It was just like a kind of a light bulb moment to be like, this is something I think is important to invest in, even if you're not there. And then the other thing was, I used to be known around Kansas City as the t-shirt guy because I have an apparel business that like was kind of the thing I was building. And they'd be like, oh yeah, like you're like with the t-shirts, right? Like, or like you own this company, and like you're the t-shirt guy. And I was like, hated it. I was just like, I do way cooler shit than just like make t-shirts. I don't make t-shirts, and no offense to anyone that does. I just like, I think what I do in e-commerce is really cool. And I was like, I want to be known as the Amazon guy. If I'm going to be known, like I want him to be like, you need help with the Amazon. Like Andrew's the guy for that. And like, just like you were saying with that advice you got, like you need to be top of mind. I legit was on a mission that was like, I'm going to be known as like the entrepreneur that does Amazon. Like this is going to, because this is what I'm building. And so when I separated those two, I really separated Landlocked or my businesses from my personal brand, and then was able to just like speak my truth on my own page without feeling like I need to like sell anything. I think that was a big part. Like if you're running your own business and you're trying to get opportunities, you're trying to get sales, you're like pushing what you do, you know? But whenever I was able to separate those was really when I started kind of enjoying it a lot more as far as like the personal brand building. And you're like, I'm just being myself, talking about what I do, talking about my aspirations and dreams and failures. And, you know, and that's something that people will buy into. When I think about that, and I'm just like, how can you leverage these types of things? You know, as you continue to get all these different channels, let people know where you're at. Let people know you moved to TikTok. Let people know that you're on Clubhouse. Like, you know, what are all the different ways to talk to people? We're going to have to talk about that offline for sure.
Cool. Well, if anyone does need, I know you asked me to drop my contact info. So if anyone is looking for any advice or needs help, you want to grow your email list, your SMS list, or maybe you already have a list and you just want to maximize it, you can always reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn, Ryan O'Connor. Our company is called Worth E-commerce. So WORTH e-commerce.com, and you can reach out to us there. And we're basically offering free audits for any e-commerce business. We can dig through your business, dig through your stats, and see how much revenue is leaking out. It's free, about an hour consultation. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. Be happy to help.
And we'll have all of his contact information as well in the show notes for anyone that's driving or didn't get a chance to write that down. So feel free to look it up. And before we sign off, once again, let's give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Payoneer. If you need $750K in working capital, Payoneer's capital advance program is based on your store's earnings. So there's no credit checks, just funds and growth. Visit payoneer.com/funding and grab your exclusive fee rebate. Don't forget to say Startup Hustle. Ryan, I have a feeling we're going to talk about this case study. We're going to talk about maybe get your feedback on some of the stuff I should be doing for my personal brand. And I have no doubt we'll be working together in the future. So I'm super excited to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was fun. I love chatting business and e-commerce.
I mean, I know this like this taking over the Startup Hustle e-commerce spot was like a dream come true for me, really, because I love all of e-commerce. I get paid by working in the Amazon space the most, right? But getting to talk just with other professionals that are doing cool trending stuff outside of Amazon and what do I need to know, how can I pull those things in is always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
All right, see you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.